really trying to help our cause.
The Drive at 5.
We're very honored to have him here today.
77 WABC.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I come to say I come from Little Island, down the Equator way. I hail on Big Banana Boat from Caribbean to see if I can help with
my 540. Oh, this is like a blast from the past. The Chiquita Banana Girls. And you remember they put Chiquita Bananas out from Guatemala, Honduras, Central America. They'd be out at your local grocery store or your fruit stand. And then if the bananas began to turn brown, all of a sudden you'd see these tsetse flies, these fruit flies gather around. Yeah. They'd be everywhere. And you'd say, hey, I'm not going to buy. Hey, Mr. Bachigaloop, I'm not buying these bananas. They got these flies around. And then you get into a big argument with Mr. Bachigaloop, and then he ends up throwing the cash register at your medulla. But anyway, it's so right on time because with global warming and climate change seeming to have taken a little vacation as the temperatures begin to plummet. It's a great column again in the record. This guy back-to-back, belly-to-belly, Bill Ervolino. Last week, this week, it's great. And it's focused on the fall fruit fly invasions. Thanks for joining us again, Bill, here on the Drive Home at 5.
Good afternoon. I have these. I don't know if you have, if you gardened whatever this year, but I mean, I bring it in the tomatoes and the gagoots and everything else. And in a day or two, then I start seeing these little things flying around and flitting all over the place. And in a day or two, there's like 10 times more of them because they keep multiplying like crazy.
Where did it come from? Because I remember years ago, my Aunt Mary, she'd slice open a nice piece of honeydew or cantaloupe. If you left it out there for any period of time, all of a sudden these fruit flies would be all over it.
Yeah, many, many years ago, I don't have an exact number, but people used to think that they grew spontaneously out of, you know, old fruit. They would just come out of it. Because the thing is, they're so small. You see one, it's an adult, but with the smaller ones can get right into a screen, and they lay the eggs. You know how many lay? 500 eggs.
Mm.
One little, and they're polygamous, which is like a medical term for hua, basically.
Yeah.
They sleep around, and then they lay 500 eggs, each one of them, up to that amount, and then they start coming out, and then all of a sudden you think you have a million of them. They like drains. They like your if you don't take your garbage out every 5 minutes, you know, I mean, it's like they go in the garbage pail. Any place where you have fruit, it's on there. Now, if you clean the fruit and wash it off, you know, you're not gonna really have a problem. But they've already been on there.
Well,
you just have to wash it off.
My grandfather Fidelio Bianchino used to have the fig tree in the yard.
Oh,
and you know, he would take the tarp from on the roof, you know, the tar paper, and cover it for the winter. But I say, why are you doing this, Pa? He say, oh, fruit flies, they're everywhere.
It's like, your family would go, your wife would go without a coat, but you had to cover the fig tree.
Exactly. And then, remember, they would somehow get into the windowsill where the screen was, and you couldn't get them to freak out of there.
No, they can go right, the little ones can go right through the screen. That's how small they are. That's why you can't even see them. So when all of them grow up all of a sudden, in 24 hours or whatever it is, then suddenly you've got like 50, 60 of all over the place. Where'd these come from? And that's the reason, because they're so tiny when they start. But the fun thing is catching them, because you like to catch. I remember when I was a kid in Queens, I remember coming home. We had an empty house two doors away, and it was empty for like a year. We went in there, the grass was hot, and we saw a rodent running around. So I come back, and I said to my mother, I need a piece of cheese. And she says, you ate already. I said, we're trying to catch a rat. And so she was not happy. We were going to catch it with a shoebox and put the cheese under. I don't know where we got this idea. But the catching the fruit flies, you could put this vinegar and soap. You can put there's an expression, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, but all these things call for vinegar. Apple cider vinegar, they're very attracted to it. And you could put it in a bowl with a little dish detergent, you put it like a cone into the bowl with a banana, your Chiquita banana on the bottom. It goes into the cone, can't connect. It's like a science project.
But it's not like the lightning bugs, the fireflies, you know.
It doesn't have that excitement. You know, basically, they're dead.
But I remember, we used to think that those tsetse flies, you know, that would last like ephemerally, like maybe that day and then drop dead from fornicating and copulating so much, as you mentioned.
They're pigs.
Right, the fruit flies. We thought that they emerged and became those big horse house flies.
No. And I still get those. You're getting the last ones of summer now. And these are very, like, sluggish ones.
Mm.
You know, the other one would last. You see them sometimes in between the window. If you got the window closed, you got the screen and the glass, and they're in, up and down and up, and they keep going up and down, and then they just drop dead. Or if they come out, you see it, you just hit it, because, you know, in the summer they get away. They drive you crazy. By this time of year, they're like, whatever. You know, they're kind of slowed down.
Dude, some of them you could put a saddle on them and ride them.
Horse flies?
Yeah, they're big. And by the way, people who love coffee, a nice cup of coffee, you know, you put the milk in or the cream or the half and half, whatever you like. You leave that freaking cup out on the table there. You come back to it. It seems like there's a colony of either fruit flies or horse flies.
I had one of those big house flies. That happened to me 2 weeks ago. But the other thing is, you know, at night I put a little Jack Daniels next to my bed, you know, for medicinal purposes.
Oh, yes, of course.
And in the morning there is usually one of those little fruit fly things or gnats, whatever you call it. By the way, somebody has gotten like a big, somebody at Harvard has been studying circadian rhythm in humans by looking at fruit flies.
Hmm.
By the intestines. He's studying the intestines of fruit flies. I these things are so tiny, I haven't figured out how on earth he's doing this. But it's an interesting story.
What I need to know, Bill Ervolino of the record, is the best way to catch him, because old school was my grandmother, Nicoletta Bianchino, she would go to the hardware store and get the fly paper. You know, it was always sticky, and you would hang it up, like maybe on the light, and it would hang down, and you could never totally get the fly paper off correctly. Is that the best method to catch these little critters?
If you walk into that, you're going to have a problem, because that'll stick on your head. It's not the best way. I don't think so. But, I mean, any way you can have. If you have a little tape and you want to put it somewhere, like a double-sided tape or fly paper. But I think the best thing is to put the little the vinegar, apple cider vinegar, a little, they say dish soap, mixed in with it for some reason. That kind of gets them, keeps them from leaking.
Oh, a little Ivory soap there.
Yeah, Ivory, Dawn, whatever. And that's it. Or you can put like a paper cone into some vinegar with a banana at the bottom. So they go in through the cone, they fly in, the top part is open, but they get to the bottom and then they can't figure out how to get out.
Well, I got to tell you, Bill Ervolino, it's a lot better than setting off one of those insect bombs and suffocating. I mean, asphyxiating in your house. You know, it's like Raid. Oh, man, you do not want to do that.